VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. In that tomorrow, Good Friday, we're going to be having a special best of program. We invite you to listen to our news roundup today. By the way, listen in tomorrow. We'll be rebroadcasting an interview that we did with Randy Melchert on the trial of Jesus, And I believe you'll find it fascinating to listen in to the interview tomorrow on Crosstalk. So today, a news roundup broadcast is coming your way. We're going to begin with a story out of FoxNews.com where militants in Gaza fired 7 rockets into Israel early this morning as the nation's Jewish population began celebrating Passover. The Israeli military says all 7 rockets exploded in midair. Tensions remain high in the country as the Muslim holy month of Ramadan continues. While the Jewish Passover began Wednesday, Israeli forces have tracked rocket barrages from Gaza throughout the week, though few have escaped the country's air defenses. Tense protests have taken place at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, where Muslims flock throughout Ramadan, and the mosque resides on the foundations of the Jewish Temple Mount, the holiest site in Judaism. We did a fascinating interview with Pastor Jim Scudder on this not too many weeks ago. Go back and listen. We talked more about the issue of the Temple Mount in particular. But while Israel authorities allow free access to the mosque, many Muslim visitors have attempted to stay overnight, something only allowed for in the final week of Ramadan. Meanwhile, the Times of Israel is reporting that police detained a number of people near Jerusalem's Temple Mount Wednesday with lamb or goats that they were suspected of intending to sacrifice at the site for the Passover holiday. One American News Network reporting that just hours after pleading not guilty in New York to falsifying business records in relation to alleged hush money payments, 45th President Donald Trump slammed the DA Alvin Bragg and Democrats in a speech saying that he never thought anything like this would happen in America. Indicted on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records, was arraigned on Tuesday in New York City, pleading not guilty to all charges, and also pointed back in the speech to the number of times being impeached, but also not only impeached, but also is one who was acquitted of those charges as well. From townhall.com, a liberal news outlet had and their left-wing extremists were disappointed with the arraignment, noticing a substantial lack of evidence brought on by woke prosecutors. Following one of the saddest days in America, CNN's Jake Tapper asked former counsel to the U.S. Assistant Attorney General Carrie Cordera that if the charges were what she expected or if she was unimpressed. In response, she called the charges a little underwhelming. The Daily Signal is reporting that Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, the Democrat leading the prosecution of former President Donald Trump, had the backing in his 2021 election from an organization affiliated with the main Black Lives Matter group, Color of Change, a partner organization of BLM, Global Network Foundation, the main organization behind the BLM movement, and the Color of Change PAC, legally a separate entity, funded directly by left-wing billionaire financier and political donor George Soros. From Just the News, Jim Jordan has subpoenaed the former Manhattan prosecutor in the first strike against the office that is prosecuting former President Trump. Jim Jordan on Thursday subpoenaed a former Manhattan prosecutor who openly campaigned to criminally charge Donald Trump in the first significant strike at the office that brought the historic indictment against the former president this week. Jordan subpoenaed a former special district attorney, Assistant District Attorney Mark Pomerantz, comes just days after Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg pointedly decided to provide documents and testimony to Jordan's committee, calling it an interference in his investigation. Meanwhile, the Epoch Times reporting that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on Tuesday has ordered Stormy Daniels to pay former President Trump almost $122,000 in legal fees, stemming from a defamation lawsuit that she filed in 2018 against Trump that was later dismissed. Epoch Times also reporting that former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson announced a 2024 presidential bid, becoming the fourth major Republican candidate to make such an announcement. And on the Democratic side, from townhall.com, Robert F. Kennedy announced his run for the 2024 White House, challenging President Joe Biden of the race. Kennedy is the Democratic son of former U.S. Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy and nephew to the late former President John F. Kennedy, and is the second candidate to take on Biden, joining with Mary Ann Williamson in the challenge. Okay, speaking of elections, this from LifeSiteNews.com. Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Janet Protasiewicz defeated former Justice Daniel Kelly for a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court Tuesday, shifting the judicial balance of power left in the Dairy State and putting a wide range of conservative laws at risk. A Kelly victory would have preserved the status quo, but Protasiewicz's win establishes a new 4-3 liberal majority that's expected to have a significant ramifications on Wisconsin's right to work, public sector collective bargaining, election integrity laws, as well as a longstanding abortion ban that was the primary focus of Democratic efforts. When the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe last June, it allowed scores of state pro-life laws across the country to be enforced for the first time in nearly half a century. Among them was the Wisconsin law dating to 1849 that made it a felony, makes it a felony, I should say, for an abortionist to commit an abortion for any reason other than to save the mother's life. Well, the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, threatened to give clemency to any abortionist prosecuted, and the attorney general, Josh Call, says he will not prosecute anyone who violates that. Well, they have filed a legal challenge to the abortion law in Wisconsin, and we understand that the first oral argument's taking place just 1 month from now. WND.com reporting that blasting the North Carolina Democratic Party for bullying, one member has switched parties, joining the Republican contingent in the state legislature and now giving the GOP a supermajority there. This is Representative Tricia Coltham, who switched from the Democrat to Republican Party. With his supermajority now, the GOP can veto any legislation coming out of the governor's office if it wants to. Todd Starnes reporting that the modern-day Democratic Party has become unrecognizable to me, she said. This would be the lawmaker switching parties. If you don't do exactly what the Democrats want you to do, they will try to bully you. She said they will try to cast you aside. She told Fox News anyone who refuses to toe the party line is bullied and set aside. She said, I caught a lot of flack. Flack over the fact that on my car and various things I display the American flag, that I talk a lot about my belief and faith, and that she used Jesus several times when I've led our chamber in-house prayer, and saying she was bullied for those things. Let's go on to FoxNews.com. The Windy City decided on its new mayor Tuesday after a tight race between two blues. A progressive Bernie Sanders endorsed Democrat taking the keys to the Chicago mayor's office. Believe it or not, some are saying that this individual is left of Lori Lightfoot. Progressive Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson defeated his moderate opponent to take the Chicago mayor's race, replacing outgoing Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who came in third before the runoff. Lightfoot, by the way, was the first Chicago mayor in four decades to lose a reelection bid. LifeNews.com, an important story going on in the state of Kansas. A pro-life bill to protect newborns who survive abortions cleared the Kansas legislature by an overwhelming majority on Tuesday, garnering support from both Republican and Democratic lawmakers. The Born Alive Infants Protection Act now heads to Governor Laura Kelly's desk. The governor is a pro-abortion Democrat, but the legislation has enough support to override her potential veto. The bill passed with bipartisan support, 86-36 Tuesday in the State House and 31-9 vote late last month in the State Senate. From Kansas, we go to the state of Michigan, as LifeNews.com reports that Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer joined abortion activists Wednesday to celebrate the repeal of a law that protected viable unborn babies from late-term abortions. The Democrat-controlled state legislature voted to repeal the 1931 pro-life law this spring, and Whitmer, a pro-abortion Democrat, signed the bill on Wednesday. Barbara Listing, president of Right to Life Michigan, said the governor has a disturbing obsession with aborting unborn babies at all costs. Again, folks, we're talking about killing innocent human life, killing babies, killing humanity, saying today is a dark day for women in our state and for unborn children nearing birth, cloaking the elimination of longstanding common sense health and safety protections in the mantra of women's rights demonstrates the extreme nature of the governor's abortion activism, Listing said. Pro-life leaders in Michigan are saying no longer are there limits on abortion. LifeNews.com also reporting of police arresting a Texas mother this month after she was accused of trying to force her pregnant daughter to take abortion pills to kill her unborn grandchild. This is where Juana Sanchez of Laredo, Texas, allegedly obtained the abortion pills, not mentioned reports, but pro-life advocates have been warning about the increased risk of forced abortions ever since the Biden administration began allowing abortion pills to be sold in the mail. The Laredo Morning Times reports that the police there said they arrested Sanchez on charges of assaulting a pregnant woman. Idaho is banning abortion trafficking. Idaho Republican Governor Brad Little signed legislation Wednesday to ban so-called abortion trafficking, in which an adult aids a minor in obtaining an abortion out of state without parental consent. The law imposes a possible 5-year prison sentence for anyone found guilty. LifeNews.com telling us that Michigan State University will reimburse students in a business course who were forced to purchase a subscription to the professor's website, which allegedly then donated to Planned Parenthood, the New Guard reported. Amy Wissner, a fixed-term faculty member at MSU Broad College of Business, who no longer appears on the university directory, required students in her marketing communication course to purchase a $99 subscription to her website, Patriarchy Rebellion. The university launched an investigation into the incident and confirmed in an email to the students that a new professor will be teaching the course and that students will be reimbursed. LifeSiteNews.com reporting that the GOP-led Florida Senate Monday voted to pass an abortion restriction bill that would ban the deadly practice after a baby's heartbeat can be detected. Governor Ron DeSantis has repeatedly committed to signing pro-life laws and has specifically affirmed he would sign a heartbeat bill if it landed on his desk. SB 300, known as the Heartbeat Protection Act, cleared the Senate 26-13 April 3rd, now heads to the House, where it's slated to take it up in the next week. The legislation would prohibit the deliberate killing of an unborn baby after his heartbeat can be detected, which is usually about 6 weeks gestation. LifeSiteNews.com tells us more than two decades ago, the FDA failed its duty to the public when it approved a harmful chemical abortion drugs at the behest of progressive politicians and drug companies. Professional medical associations gave the FDA two clear opportunities in 2002 and 2016 to do the right thing and reverse the approval, but the FDA rejected those opportunities, and so now doctors and medical associations are asking the courts to hold the FDA accountable for its unauthorized, politicized approval of chemical abortion drugs in the first-of-its-kind lawsuit, Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine versus U.S. Food and Drug Administration, where they're asking for a federal court to overturn the FDA's unlawful approval of chemical abortion drugs. Alliance Defending Freedom is representing four national medical associations and four doctors, each of whom has experience in caring for women who have suffered adverse effects from these abortion drugs. We've got more stories after the break. It's a news roundup day on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, any evidence for creation from the solar system?
Yes, there are, Chris. In fact, quite a few. One of the ICR physicists, Dr. Russ Humphreys, made a prediction a few years ago before the exploration of Jupiter by satellite. He had developed a theory of the magnetic field of planets in the solar system based on the Bible. And the satellite found the evidence fit his model and not the evolutionary model of long ages. In particular, Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter, has an Earth-like magnetic field, but it's tilted 80 degrees away from the spin axis. This pretty much proves that the magnetic field is not produced by fluid currents in the moon's interior, as is postulated by long-agers for Earth. As a matter of fact, the Earth's dipole magnetic field is decaying so fast, soon it's going to be gone. It couldn't be the result of events millions of years ago, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis. It's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk, and we thank you for tuning in for our broadcast each weekday. By the way, some weeks ago we interviewed Rich Cristiano on the films Secrets of Jonathan Speary and Play the Flute. And I just want to remind you, this coming Monday, April 10th, is when that special offer from Crosstalk does expire. Monday is the final day. We offer these two DVDs, powerful DVDs, and also the complimentary copy of the Gospel of John that we made available for donation of $25. It's available through our website, vcyamerica.org, or by calling 800-729-9829. Monday is the final day for that to take place. There is an opinion piece that Jason Law wrote, Director of Communications at Human Coalition, in regard to Target. Target stores paying for employee abortions and covering abortion travel to kill babies. And they point out the issue that Target is often featuring in, you know, different commercial spots and advertising campaigns, those with Down syndrome. Now, those with Down syndrome are usually targeted by abortion. The death of over two out of every three children with Down syndrome because of abortion is heartbreaking on so many levels. People with Down syndrome add value and meaning to this world, and does every human being, and they should be celebrated in the womb, not just outside of it. Well, Target not only provides employees health insurance plans that include abortion, but also, they report in their piece, covers expenses for women traveling to other states to obtain an abortion, and even filters money to Planned Parenthood affiliates. On this topic of life yet, LifeSiteNews.com is reporting the Maryland House of Delegates voted 98-38 last Thursday, I believe it was, to replace a place before voters a state constitutional amendment that would establish a state level right to abortion next year. Can you imagine going to the ballot? Do we want to authorize the murder of children in the womb, yes or no? Should be a no-brainer. LifeSiteNews.com indicates that a Florida-based professional minor league ice hockey team is devoting over 30% of its tickets proceeds to pro-life pregnancy centers scattered throughout the state. Good for you. The Florida Everblades hockey team, donating $6 from every ticket purchased through a special fundraiser site to community pregnancy clinics, which estimates that it saves over 1,000 babies a year from abortion. Community pregnancy clinics, founded as one small crisis pregnancy center 49 years ago, has a remarkable success rate in encouraging women to choose life for their preborn children. About 90% of women they serve choose life. Hats off here to the Florida Everblades hockey team and their support for these pregnancy care centers. Let's see. Let's go to another story here. This one from WND.com. The state of New Mexico has caved on its demand that doctors help patients kill themselves. Facing a lawsuit over its requirement, the state changed the law so that medical professionals now are allowed to decline to participate in assisted suicides based on their conscience or religious beliefs. The word comes in an announcement from the Alliance Defending Freedom about a lawsuit it has dropped because of the state changed. A troubling story here from LifeNews.com. A single mother of five has filed a lawsuit against the Oregon Department of Human Services Monday for allegedly denying her adoption application due to her religious beliefs, according to a press release from Alliance Defending Freedom. Jessica Bates, a single mother of five, who also lost her husband in a car crash 6 years prior, attempted to apply with the department to adopt children in 2022. Her application was allegedly denied because her Christian beliefs would not allow her to respect, accept, and support the sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression of the children in her care, as the department's adoption regulations require, according to the lawsuit.
By the way, a Good Friday service is returning to the U.S. Capitol for the first time in 2 years after the government has lifted its ban on peaceful First Amendment activities. Christian Defense Coalition holding their Good Friday service at the lower western terrace of the Capitol tomorrow at 12 noon. The Daily Wire is reporting House Republicans sent letters to protect faith-based entities from discrimination in the federal budget due to their views on traditional marriage. The letter, spearheaded by Representative Chip Roy of Texas and sent to multiple House Appropriations subcommittees, requests that lawmakers add text to the budget that prohibits agencies from taking discriminatory action against people or organizations on the basis of a sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction that marriage is or should be recognized as a union of one man and one woman. Without this language, we fear that the federal government will begin to systematically discriminate against religious schools, faith-based organizations, and other nonprofits by barring their participation in federal programs and removing their tax-exempt status for their views on marriage. Been joined by other legislators in that process. LifeNews.com, during a hearing, Senator Katie Britt of Alabama revealed that training slides reportedly from a whistleblower in the Department of Justice concerned about the Attorney General's misleading testimony before the Judiciary Committee. These slides were used to prepare U.S. Marshals personnel for their protective details outside of justices' homes, according to the senator. Okay, so we have the DOJ training these marshals. Britt said that the DOJ explicitly discouraged U.S. Marshals from enforcing the law against the protesters without coordination with the relevant U.S. Attorney's Office, warning that it would be counterproductive for the marshals to make arrests on cases that the DOJ will not charge and prosecute. Not a single person has been prosecuted for illegally harassing Supreme Court justices outside their homes, Britt said after the hearing. The reason is crystal clear. The Department of Justice has willfully chosen not to enforce federal law. The slides stand in contradiction to Attorney General Merrick Garland's previous assertion to lawmakers that the decision to arrest the protesters lies with the U.S. Marshals. Garland also admitted that it's a federal crime to protest outside a judge's home with the intent of influencing the judge. Decisions have to be made on the ground about what is best way to protect those lives, he said on March the 1st. Well, when you see these training slides that the U.S. Marshals were given from the DOJ, slide number one emphasizes that the marshals should not view their detail as an enforcement operation. Despite the clear language of the law, it advises the marshals that protest is not synonymous with unlawful activity. And also the second slide, marshals are instructed to avoid any criminal enforcement actions involving protesters unless absolutely necessary. And yes, indeed, it goes on from there. Well, from cron.com, CHRON.com, we find that the new research found that obesity in the U.S. military surged during the pandemic. In the Army alone, nearly 10,000 active-duty soldiers developed obesity between February of 19 and June of 21, pushing the rate to nearly a quarter of the troops studied. Increases also seen in the Navy and Marines as well. Breitbart is reporting President Joe Biden has stored about 1,170 pages of records at the Biden Penn Center, the National Archives admitted to America First Legal. The number of pages stored at the Penn Center was previously unknown, raising questions about how many classified documents were among these pages. Statement here from the NARA, that would be the Archives Group, indicating that, we're not talking about a few records tucked away in a drawer, but rather thousands of pages and boxes of material. Incredibly, NARA claims it lacks custody of records found at Biden's vacation home and residence in Delaware. This is hard to understand. This is, a statement from Senior Counselor and Director of Oversight and Investigations at America First Legal, Reed Rubenstein. Very interesting. And we're not hearing much about the Biden documents anymore, are we? Well, Western Journal reporting that the establishment media was fixated Tuesday on the legal theater of former President Trump's indictment in New York City. The classified documents scandal came back for a second act thanks to Kentucky Republican James Comer. In a statement released Tuesday in an interview with Fox News, Comer, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, announced that the picture previously painted of classified documents being discovered at the Biden legal team in November was wildly incorrect. The documents were in a supposedly locked closet at the Penn Center for diplomacy and global engagement. And by the way, this is the same center. They've got tens of millions of dollars from donors in China. Comer said, though, that Biden's former executive assistants show that the Biden White House has been trying to retrieve the documents at least last May of last year, 6 months before the public learned about them. Comer also said that that the documents had been in unauthorized locations since Biden left the vice presidency at the end of his second term in January of 2017, indicating that weren't stored behind any locks. One of the locations was in Chinatown, the other at the Biden, the Penn Biden Center. The White House has never been honest with the American people, saying that, remember, we never would have found out about this in March of 2023 if someone hadn't leaked it to the press. So the White House came back and said, yeah, that happened in November, December 2022, and just testified under oath that it happened now in May of 2022. Okay, Daily Wire reporting that small businesses impacted by the current economic tumult are filing for bankruptcy at levels last witnessed at the outset of the lockdown-induced recession, even as President Biden touts an uptick in new business ventures. Economic phenomena known as inflationary pressures, as well as the rising interest rates caused by monetary tightening from the Federal Reserve, had produced an increase in the number of small and medium-sized businesses filing for bankruptcy, according to a note from the investment bank USB obtained by Business Insider. Fears of a credit crunch amid the failure of multiple banks worsened the rise of bankruptcies. The number of monthly bankruptcy filings reached nearly 32,000 as of February of 2023. That's an 18% rise from the 27,000 bankruptcy filings seen in February of 2022. Breitbart is reporting that 44% of Americans work a second job, a 13% increase relative to the Trump administration, a Lending Club report has revealed. Breitbart indicating Apple has launched its Apple Pay Later feature. Apple Pay Later that will allow users to pay for purchases in multiple installments. The service encourages Americans to take on more debt with loans for items from $50 to $1,000. Users of devices like iPhones can borrow money directly through the Wallet app by using the service, with a full rollout scheduled for the upcoming months. The tech giant has begun by inviting select users to access a pre-release of the version Apple Pay Later. Customers using the service are eligible to apply for loans between $50 and $1,000. However, only Apple Pay accepting businesses, whether online or offline, can be used with the service. Loans will be repaid in four equal payments over the course of 6 weeks. Apple mandates that debit cards can be used to make the payments. The tech giant runs a soft credit check to determine eligibility prior to starting the loan. Company's current partnership with MasterCard and Goldman Sachs enable Apple Pay Later. Also, USA Today is reporting of Panera Bread piloting Amazon's palm scanning technology that will identify customers, suggest menu items, accelerate payments, and help workers greet people by name. Slated to start in the coming months, the chain announced its rollout of Amazon One technology developed by the e-commerce giant that IDs customers using their hands. The technology is deployed at select bakery cafes in Panera's hometown of St. Louis, with plans to expand. I'll have some more stories after the break. It's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Have you wanted to impact a life for Christ but didn't know how? Perhaps you felt you were too old. The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry is a 95-minute dramatic film depicting a 75-year-old man pouring himself into some 12-year-old boys, motivating them to read their Bible and follow Jesus. A second film, Play the Flute, presents another story, this time of a youth leader who takes over a teen group that is filled with apathy and finds himself in an uphill battle. These are both powerful films reminding the viewer to stick to your calling. Now through April the 10th, VCY America is making a pack available including The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry and Play the Flute, and a bonus copy of The Gospel of John, all for a donation of just $25. Call VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
It's News Roundup Day here on Crosstalk Today. Again, we encourage you to tune in tomorrow for a special Good Friday Crosstalk dealing with the trial of Jesus from our best of. Having a News Roundup today and catching up on news here over the past many days. From the Washington Standard, another pilot became incapacitated while aboard an Air Transit Airbus A321 during a flight from Fort de France to Montreal and over U.S. airspace. It's the sixth this month that's been reported. And the writer here asking, could it have anything to do with the experimental COVID shots? Western Journal reporting Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky says there's something shady taking place with the job status of Dr. Anthony Fauci. Fauci officially retired as director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease on December 31st. However, during an appearance on the Fox News show Hannity on Tuesday, Paul said that might not be what actually has taken place, saying there's a massive cover-up going on, and the lead in all of the cover-up has been Fauci. We have information that he's still working for government, even though he says he's retired. It's my belief that he's worried about being indicted, and so he continues to work so he can get legal protection under the federal government, Paul said. This is wrong on every level, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. We're sending a letter to find out what the actual status of his employment is. Is he retired? Is he still getting a federal detail? Paul noted that he has many concerns about COVID-19 and its origins and treatment, and said at the top of every sort of concern we have, it's Anthony Fauci. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting that a new study reveals that a large mega batch of Pfizer gene-based COVID injectable product has targeted at children has killed two 10-year-old boys and injured at least 1,264 youngsters. It's a March 31st report by Sasha Ladipova, a former pharmaceutical executive turned researcher, highlighted a study performed by the Medicinal Genomics that discovered and documented DNA contamination in Pfizer mega batch numbers FL8095, which was marketed to children between the ages of 5 and 11. Researching adverse events for the mega batch on the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, that's VAERS, found 1,334 adverse events reported, of which 95% are in children. Two reports are for children who were apparently murdered with the injections, wrote Ladipova. These include two 10-year-old boys, the first who died from cardiac arrest 3 days after his first dose of injection, and the second who died of anaphylaxis and also what appears to be cardiovascular causes within 2 days of injection from the same lot. More to that story, you'll find it at LifeSiteNews.com. From Breitbart, Senator Josh Hawley has unveiled his workers' agenda that includes legislation to end the United States' decades-long job-killing free trade status with China. He proposed the Ending Normal Trade Relations with China Act, which would effectively impose high tariffs on Chinese imports to the U.S. by revoking China's free trade status that the communist country has enjoyed for more than two decades. In 2001, China entered the World Trade Organization with the backing of former President Bush, his administration, and was subsequently awarded permanent normal trade relations status by the U.S. after congressional approval. Well, as a result of authorizing U.S. free trade with China, nearly 4 million American jobs have been eliminated from the U.S. economy from 2001 to 2018, including almost 3 million domestic manufacturing jobs as multinational corporations readily ship jobs overseas without penalties from the government. During that same period, at least 50,000 American manufacturing plants closed down. Well, let's see. CNSnews.com. China already furious about House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's meeting with the Taiwan president on her transit through the U.S. is now fodder for complaint. On Thursday, a bipartisan congressional delegation led by the House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Michael McCaul arrived in Taiwan overnight. While there, the delegation meeting with the Taiwanese business leaders, as well as with officials from the executive and legislative branches, discussing ways that the U.S. can strengthen our economic and defense relationship with Taiwan. The Americans' visit to Taiwan comes a day after McCarthy met with the Taiwanese president at the Reagan Library. He said, McCarthy said, today we stood up to China. McCarthy said China needs to hear that Congress will act together, that we can't allow this authoritarian view, that this bullying trying to dictate who we can talk to and who we can speak to when this is an ally, referring to Taiwan. Fox News is reporting that Taiwan president reportedly was briefed by senior security officials Tuesday on a regional situation ahead of her scheduled visit to the Capitol. The visit with Kevin McCarthy. Meanwhile, China reportedly sent an aircraft carrier to the waters off Taiwan's southeast coast Wednesday, the same day as the meeting with McCarthy. New York Post, you remember the Chinese spy balloon drifting across the U.S. in February? They reported collected intelligence from several sensitive American military sites and transmitted the information back to Beijing in real time, while the Biden administration held off on intercepting it for days, according to a shocking report. The device, which was shot down off the coast of South Carolina February 4th, 7 days after it first entered U.S. airspace, made multiple passes over some key installations, at times flying in a figure eight to ensure maximum data collection, according to NBC News, which cited two current senior U.S. officials and one former White House official. The outlet added that the intelligence China collected mostly came from electronic signals that may have been emitted from weapons systems or communications by personnel at various bases. The Pentagon has not confirmed which sites were spied on by China, but key installations in the balloon's path included Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, one of the three bases that maintains and operates Minuteman III ICBMs. There was Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, the headquarters of the U.S. Strategic Command that oversees America's nuclear forces, and Joint Base Charleston in South Carolina that hosts two nuclear submarine squadrons. If this thing was flying out of control, how is it that just so happened to go over these military installations? Foreign Affairs is reporting that Chinese leader Xi Jinping says he's preparing for war at the annual meeting of the China's parliament and its top political advisory body in March. He wove the theme of war readiness through four separate speeches in one instance, telling his generals to dare to fight, dare to fight. He announced another 7.2% increase in China's defense budget. It's doubled over the last decade. Speaking of China, from the newamerican.com, Brazil and China struck a long-anticipated deal to de-dollarize bilateral trade. This is but the latest and certainly the most significant move by the Chinese to accomplish their goal of replacing the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, a status that's enjoyed since the end of World War II. China surpassed the U.S. as Brazil's largest trading partner back in 2009, and Brazil's newly inaugurated Marxist government led by communist Lula da Silva has firmly taken the side of Team China. Other countries in the world, like Saudi Arabia, are also strongly considering following Brazil's lead, and Brazil's action may end up puncturing the dollar-denominated world financial balloon. Very interesting story here on FoxNews.com. An incoming Massachusetts school superintendent revealed that his job offer was rescinded prior to his start date after he addressed two women on the school's committee as ladies in an email. Yeah, he dared to call women ladies and address them as being ladies. Vitor Perone was offered the position as the head of the East Hampton Schools March 23rd. but was notified that the job offer had been withdrawn over his choice of salutation in an email to the chairperson and executive assistant, both female, who reportedly interpreted his lady's greeting as a microaggression, the Daily Hampshire Gazette reported. He told the local outlet that he sent the email in an attempt to negotiate higher pay and more sick days after calculating that the annual salary was less than his existing job as an interim superintendent at another school district. He'd served as a principal of East Hampton High School 8 years earlier, said in a Friday interview that he was willing to take a pay cut but was hoping for a cost of living adjustment in the 3-year contract. But because of the salutation he used, dear ladies, it became a problem. By the way, a judge has temporarily blocked Tennessee's law prohibiting minors from attending sexual performances. A U.S. federal judge, this is from LifeSiteNews.com, imposed a temporary block on a Tennessee law that would prohibit minors from attending sexually explicit performances hours before it was set to take effect. This is Judge Thomas Parker. He is a Trump-appointed judge. Issued the block Friday following a lawsuit filed by Friends of Georgia's, an LGBT-affiliated theater in Memphis earlier this week. According to the ruling, the law was likely both vague and overly broad, noting that the law does not specify what kind of public space or venue is covered by the law. Washington Free Beacon telling us that Colorado Democrats over the weekend advanced a bill co-sponsored by a transgender representative that would make Colorado a safe haven for teenagers seeking sex changes. The Colorado House of Representatives Saturday passed Senate Bill 188 that would require the state's courts and medical licensing boards to protect doctors who dispense hormones and perform sex changes on teens from states that restrict these surgeries, as well as those who provide abortion. Friends, let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. If you want to comment on these or other current event stories, that's 800-733-9829. In a story on WND.com, the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania, called CHOP, not a good name for what we're talking about here, Gender and Sexuality Development Program, offers medical interventions to children as young as 8 as part of the medical transition process, according to documents reviewed by the Daily Caller News Foundation. Clinic employees have publicly advocated for certain cross-sex surgeries for minors, along with hormones and puberty blockers, and have downplayed the seriousness of the infertility, which is a known consequence of some of these interventions. I think it's really important to remember that age is a number, said the clinic co-founder, Dr. Linda Hawkins. But as an adolescent medicine and developmental specialist, we know that where a child is cognitively and socially is more important than the exact number of their age. Well, the Gender and Sexuality Development Program at CHOP, that's Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, offers drastic medical intervention as part of the gender transition process to children as young as 8, according to statements and documents reviewed by the Daily Caller News Foundation. Our phone number to Crosstalk here, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Damon in McPherson, Kansas. Hi, Damon. You're on the air.
Hi. You covered the pro-life bill coming up in Kansas. Did you cover what they did yesterday, overriding governor's veto?
No, I did not have that story, so tell us.
I believe it was yesterday. I saw it last night, the House early in the day, and then the Senate later in the day over. Finally had the guts to stand up to the Kansas governor, override her transgender or men participating in women's sports. So okay. That'll get registered this summer, and I don't know how they'll uphold it, but.
Okay.
They overrode her veto. They hadn't done the past couple of years. She's vetoed everything they've done, and yeah, they've let it slide. This year they overrode her veto, so there'll be no more men in ladies' locker rooms or sports allowed in our state.
Thank you for the report from Kansas there. Appreciate it so much. We are up against a break. We'll be back in 1 minute with more of your phone calls. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. January 13th, 2023, it is out there online that a video game was released that is all about transgenders fighting gender fascists. And the gender fascists, well, they are Christians. They're conservatives. The video game depicts breaking people free from a gender fascist concentration camp and includes the killing of an individual wearing a clerical robe with a cross on the left and right chest. Interesting and sad that this video game came out in January, and just a few weeks later, we have an attack by an admitted transgender individual attacking a Christian school and killing three adults and three children. Is there the setting up and the hunting of Christians? I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America News Roundup Day. Friends, I've just got to make you aware of the story, too, that just came out from the Daily Signal yesterday, and that is a Canadian politician is proposing a law that would allow Ontario's Attorney General to criminalize offensive remarks within 100 meters of a drag show, including so-called drag queen story hours for children. If passed, the measure would create a football field size 2S LGBTQIA plus community safety zone around drag shows and other LGBT events in Ontario. Anyone who protests within this zone would be subject to a $25,000 fine under the legislation. Any homophobic, transphobic act of intimidation, threat, offensive threats, or offensive remarks, protest, disturbance, and distribution of hate propaganda would be prohibited by law if the bill passes, sponsor Kristen Huang Tam said Tuesday in a press conference. Let's go to James in Tomah, Wisconsin. James, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to point out something. Thank you for taking my call. We're told to choose out for ourselves godly leaders, which clearly we have not done, looking at recent elections and the results of others. But that is predicated on our raising up godly leaders. We're supposed to raise them up in a nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we're supposed to reach out to our neighbors and share with them, since we love them as we love ourselves, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to share with them the gospel that saved us from the fires of hell, because we don't want them to face the fires of hell.
Right.
And we don't do that. We don't get up off of our lazy chairs and lazy portions of our body to go out and do that. So now we're complaining that our leaders are bad, and our government is bad, and our roads are bad, and our schools are bad. And now we're facing all these enemies from abroad who used to respect our country because we had good leaders, because we had God's blessing. And he has lifted his hand of protection from us, because you walk down the street and there are 30 taverns and one church that doesn't preach the gospel. People are saying, God bless America. They're saying, God will rescue us. God will protect us. And in the same sentence, they're using the most horrible, racial epithets in sexual innuendos and profane words. And America has really lost its identity. Mm-hmm. We were founded on covenants with God. The Revolution and the War of 1812 are just replete with examples of how God saved us miraculously. And we've turned our back on that. And yeah. God said to Israel what he would do to Israel, his chosen people.
Yeah.
We are not his chosen people. We are, the vine grafted in. Mm-hmm. And we better sit up and take notice and mend our ways.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with the comments that you're making here, because indeed we look for God's blessing when we've turned our back on him, and we're doing it on so many different levels. But you talked about, in the home, and to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And how many of us are doing that? We will send our kids to church rather than take them with us. Family devotions used to be a norm in Christian families, thrown out the window. We don't pray together except for God's blessing on food before a meal. And we've got to get serious about this. What that means to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is so critical for this time. But I was just so kicked in the gut this past week to see, yes, a liberal denomination, but they brought drag queens into the church, into the service, and they're doing these drag songs and little kids, and you see moms holding toddlers and infants bouncing along with the music, and then the camera pans over to the adult section where the adults are all joining in with this as well. You know,
they're taught that this is Christian.
They would identify themselves as being Christian, but not according to what a true Christian is. But indeed, uh-huh. God help us. I mean, it is such, we've turned our back on him. And certainly as we read through books like Deuteronomy, if you follow me and obey me, I'm going to bless you. But those who disregard my law, there's going to be cursing. Thank you for the call here.
Thank you.
Alice in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I'm on the same page with you about the awful abortions of children. It's an abomination unto the Lord, and this nation has forgotten God by forgetting they're not obeying exactly what's being said. We need those who call themselves Christians, I'm going to say it again, make your calling and election sure. We all need to pray every day, love, joy, peace that he will give when the Spirit witnesses we are his children. God is a God of personal love. Can I just give this testimony? Last night I laid down with my precious husband, and I was so ill, I was just dizzy. My head just couldn't stand it. So we got up and I sat in a chair. He prayed. I prayed. God healed me. God is no respecter of persons. I lay down and went to sleep because of the power of God. Mm. He loves to do good things for his children. And may I just say one more time, my son, 44, said to me, Mom, I'm in the center of God's will. I have surrendered all. That's what it's going to take. America needs to really repent and pray. That was his last testimony, not his last words. Mm-hmm. Oh, God help America.
Thank you, Alice, for your call here today. And reminded, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. But go to verse 19. If you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it but a proverb and a byword among the nations. Friends, we must honor God. And that starts individually. It starts then within our homes and our families, our churches today. We thank you for tuning in today here to Crosstalk. And friends, we look forward here to Resurrection Sunday, reminding us of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That is the gospel message. And we would encourage you, if you are listening, you have not placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, to do it today. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.